It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Tickled to death to be with you this Saturday and every Saturday, I hope, at about the same time. We have actually kind of growing. I have more calls off the air and people calling me at home and talking about this radio show. I thought we had three listeners. I think we're up to six or eight.
I think we might be in double digits.
You think so? There for a while, that was the voice of the greatest fisherman in the world, Mark Tobin. There for a while, we was kind of on a roll, but then three or four of them croaked out on me, my buddies, you know. So I had to get the old blue suit out and drag them off to the hole, you know.
Oh, that's sad.
Speaking of going to the getting old and dying, 68 years old Wednesday.
Happy birthday.
And I kept going to the mailbox, and the Tobin will send me a card, and he'll be, you know, I'll get a birthday. And then I said, well, he'll just bring it in on Saturday, you know, so you don't have to mean it or anything.
Well, my birthday's on Monday.
It is?
It is.
What do you think we ought to do?
Just not pay any attention to it.
Yeah, another bad day at Black Rock.
Ignore it, it'll go away, right? Birthday.
Silverado pickup from Reed Chevrolet. Hey, I kept dropping a hint to Trevin. It didn't seem to. It went right by him.
Dang! Did he know it was your birthday?
Oh yeah, and I said, "Well, you know, I walked in two or three times. And he'd hand me a set of keys.
Never did, huh?
Never worked. I don't understand
it. He is one of the most giving people that I know, but that might just cross the line right there.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, we're awful tight, you know. We're awful good friends. I'd do anything in the world for him. Are you listening, Trevin? Oh well. You know, we thinking about talking about the last duck season. You know, it was probably from 1 to 10. It was a 9 for us, and we just had the greatest time of our lives on the deal. But the highlight of it was, just by accident, Trevin and his Marine buddies flew in, and so I got to hunt with those. And one of them was a sniper, and the other was a Marsak. I think I pronounced that Marsak. Was the Marine of the Year.
Oh, cool.
And it was an honor to be in the blind with him. Yeah. And a little bit of payback that I can do for our veterans. And so we had a bunch of ducks come in. And, of course, they shoot rifles. You know, they don't shoot shotguns.
Right.
You know. And a bunch of ducks come in. And boy, I've since stood up and croaked out a couple of them. You know, and I said, man, you really shoot a shotgun. And Josh said, well, a gun's a gun.
Maybe to them.
One thing, I volunteered Mark Tobin. Now, poor Mark. August the 17th, this is a long way down the road. But if you have never eaten what Mark has cooked, he is the greatest chef in the United States of America. I'll put him up against the Ramsey clan. What's that Ramsey that's on TV that has some kind of cooking show?
Right.
He throws stuff and gets mad.
Yeah,
that's typical Ramsey.
That's me.
That's the Scottish
name. You know?
And Mark's going to so volunteered, which he didn't know he volunteered.
Right.
But we got, I think Triumph Food has given us some pork butt and some ribs.
Awesome.
And I think we can cook those up. I know you can, Mark. And if nothing else, when you come to our banquet August 17th, it'll be up there on Frederick Avenue. And I'll give you all the addresses and keep bothering you with the dates up until it happens. And then there's a great Delta banquet here coming up in Kansas City here, too.
I think this is all for Delta Waterfowl.
Delta Waterfowl.
The new chapter up in St. Joe.
Yeah.
What is the name of it?
Squaw Creek, which upset everybody, but that's okay. We're old traditionalists up there. We're hard to change our ways, but it's the Squaw Creek chapter of Delta Waterfowl.
I like it.
Yeah, I do, too, you know, on the deal. So that's August the 17th, and you'll be hearing more and more and more. And I think we're only going to have about 300 tickets.
Oh, is that not very many?
Not very many. So
I've got to cook for 300 people.
Yes.
Seriously.
Can you do it?
I can do it.
Okay.
It's going to cost you.
I don't care. Okay. Whatever you need, I'm providing the meat.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, whatever you need for money, we'll get it to you.
Pork butt and ribs.
Yeah. Well, that worked.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, we're also having shrimp. I forgot to tell you that, too.
Oh, okay. Am I cooking the shrimp, too?
I suppose. Might as well. While you're there. We had a meeting. This made our second meeting in there. And a lot of volunteers. You know, Lee Shackelford, the dentist up there, volunteered. And I'm giving away a duck hunt for two to go to the blind. Scott Croner, who's a guide service out of Mound City, he's giving away a duck hunt for two in his flooded cornfield up there. Johnson Control, I think, already gave up 6, 8, 10 motor trolling, batteries.
Oh, wow.
That we're going to auction off. This is going to be a little bit different for merchandise. This is the charter thing of Delta, charter chapter. So we get some pretty cool stuff.
Awesome.
And, of course, I'm going to put the bite on, and I think he'll do this. And I'm 99% sure Ted Hatfield's going to give us a gun to basically raffle off up there. And we're going to have like 5 or 6 guns, a lot of prints. It's hard to tell merchandise-wise what we'll have on the deal, but I'm really focused on this. And our bunch was really, really great. We're going to meet at a saloon next month, and I'll announce that on there. We'd love to have a couple more volunteers to show up. Now, if you're a volunteer, now here's something that people don't know. When you're on the committee for Delta Waterfowl, that gives you the right. They give you a code number, and when you buy, like, Sitka or a lot of hunting gear, 50% off.
Oh, my God, that much of a discount.
Yes.
Wow,
yeah.
That's
so
large.
So it's, for a couple of 2 or 3 nights to sit around, drink beer, and talk to the guys and volunteer and show up, maybe set up some chairs and tables and whatever we got to do here. Pretty cool.
How many times a year does that happen? Once a year?
Once a year.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. So pretty darn cool.
What a deal.
So if you'd like to help us out, I got my brother Dave is going to help us, and Jeff Martinez, and a couple other guys, and Lee Shackelford, he's a retired dentist from up there. And so I told him, let's just do a free tooth extraction while you're there. I think it'd be a good, have some volunteer with a bad tooth come in and Lee will take it out for you.
That's different.
I mean, we got to.
That reminds me of, we always talk about the Pink Panther and Peter Sellers when he was the dentist.
Oh, yeah. And you got the laughing gas.
Yes. Maybe we get the good dentist to bring some laughing gas.
That's a good idea.
We pass that around.
Boy, that'd be
have
fun.
A real good time.
We
yeah.
would giggle and laugh. My goodness. Didn't his nose melt off?
Yes. Yeah.
And he already got a big nose anyway. Didn't melt at all.
Dreyfus said, "I think I'm hallucinating." And smashed it up against his face, looked like a pig nose.
I suspect everyone and no one.
Oh, goodness.
Quite the athlete in my day.
So this is going to happen in August.
In August. It's a long way off, but I just want everybody to be aware of it.
August will get here before you know it. But this winter has seemed to drag on forever.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it started bad in November. We had the snows in November.
It was good November for duck hunters.
Well, good gosh. For those of us that like to fish and do a little lawn care on the side, it's not been good. Not been good at all. Normally, we would start work and laying fertilizer down. Normally, we start the middle of February.
Sure.
Well, we haven't started yet. And we get the snow they're talking about tonight and tomorrow. Well, we're not going to start next week either. It's going to be the middle of March before we even get started. We're going to be a month behind out of the chute.
You know, the spring goose season's on, which is electronic calls, unplugged shotguns, the shoot 'em up type geese. And by this time, one of the best hunts we ever had was on my birthday. And this year here we haven't got. You couldn't put a decoy in the ground if you wanted to.
Well, I saw. It's frozen solid.
Frozen solid. Yeah.
But I saw a bunch of snows.
That's what I hear. That I-70 is what they're saying.
Yeah. This I'm just south. I'm south about 4 miles of I-70.
Yeah.
But 3 huge groups of them. They were going from east to west.
Yeah.
They weren't heading north. But.
Yeah. Squaw Creek, of course, where they usually there's be 1 million geese this time of year. There's probably 9 up there now. And it's frozen, 8 inches thick. It's just so miserably cold. I went up the other morning, it was 3 degrees. And the wind was howling. I thought, why am I
here? This is March.
Yeah, what am
I
doing?
I normally have onions put in my garden by now. And that ain't happening.
Don't you plant taters about this time? St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day, right?
That's not too far off.
Not too far, but not according to the soil temperature right now. It's ridiculous. Huh. It's March now, and we're going to get more snow tonight and below zero temperatures over the weekend.
It'll make it tough.
What doesn't kill you will make you tough.
Yeah, that's right. I suppose one afternoon it'll turn around.
Yeah.
You know, I suppose.
Well, like last year, we went from winter to summer. Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, and
hopefully we'll have some spring this year.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. You don't know on the deal, but it's just bizarre weather patterns, you know.
Another snow, and the kids, this is going to be a light powdery from what I'm hearing, so it'll be a little easier to clear off the driveways. And then once it starts to melt, the kids can make more snowmen. You know the difference between a snowman and a snowwoman.
Oh, hard to tell with you.
Snowballs.
Snowballs.
Yeah.
Okay. Boom, boom. We have a new producer, Chris. He's a just fantastic guy. I've just been around him here a couple Saturdays now, but he's got to be on his A game a little better. He should have had the drum roll in there. Blah, 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 you know.
That is
doing my best out here in this fine Saturday morning.
Chris, we're sorry we drug you in on this fiasco.
That is,
you Chris, should be asleep right now.
My brother, who's actually a hunter and a fisherman, he really enjoys your guys' show. So just another one.
Cool.
That
what's his name?
Michael.
Michael what?
Lucian.
Lucian.
Yes, he's a big hunter and fisherman.
Oh,
and
I know who this guy is.
And he actually just got a puppy, so he's I've been actually helping him run his dog, and she actually went for her first swim yesterday.
Oh, cool. What's his dog's name?
Nelly.
Nelly.
Yeah.
I'm the next dog I name is going to be called Limit. Remember the Adolf Hitler thing?
Oh, yeah.
If people haven't seen that, that is
the hysterical.
Funniest thing I've seen for years. The first time my boy sent that to me, I bet I played it 10 times.
Do you know, is that on YouTube, do you know?
Yeah, that's where it's at.
So how do you find that?
Adolf Hitler duck hunting or something.
If anybody out there wants a laugh, you got to check that out.
That is just absolutely all about it. And he talks about in this thing about he bought this dog and how he's trained it, and now the dog thinks I'm stupid.
Because there's no ducks. You're right.
And the general comes up and says there's no migration. Yeah. And he pulls his glasses off.
And gets mad.
Oh, it's just the funniest thing you ever saw. I mean, you just can't wait. You play it over and over and over and over again on the deal. So what the hey?
My best friend, he named his dog Damn It. Come here, damn it.
That day I went over to my buddy's house, and his kid came out and they had a dog. And I was standing, the kid was 3 or 4 years old, whatever it was. And I said, "What's your dog's name?" And he paused for a second. He said, "Get down." There was a lot to that.
Yeah, right.
Get down. They just don't listen. Don't we go through life like that, have that kind of enthusiasm as a puppy?
Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, my. Just fly across those lawns, throwing seed in the air.
Well, and being
happy. Verticutting and enjoying it.
And just
mowing
being,
and enjoying it.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
What do you mean
Well, and just being happy to see you, too. What a
yeah.
deal, huh? You don't get that anymore.
Yeah, you come home, and if your wife would like that, you know, happy to see
yeah,
you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
run to the door to greet you.
Yeah. Mine's like, he's home.
Jump on your leg.
You ever come home to your house and can't find your wife?
No.
Well, mine's like having a cat. You know, just, what room's she in? You know, you just go room to room. You go out to the garage, see if the car's there. And you go to room to room to room to room, you know. And when we first got married, it was, "Oh, honey, I'm glad you're home.
I had dinner ready."
What happened?
Yeah.
Hey, we got around a man too much. That's what.
Right.
Men don't think right.
Well, I can't argue with that.
Yeah, and women understand it now. Yeah, you know, I equate a man when they get married, it's like a dog chasing a car. Now they caught him, what are you going to do with him?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, you know, I mean, unbelievable. And that goes both ways, don't they?
Well,
you
true.
Know, the deals. Well, my third wife, was that the fourth one?
You're right.
Well, anyway, one of them, she got large. immediately. Put that ring on there. It was unbelievable. She went on full feed.
Just increased appetite.
She went on full feed.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Last, a ring can do that.
Last time I saw her, she was headed west walking, and she blocked out the sun. I thought it was sunset. Never saw that woman again. She didn't want to see me, and I didn't want to see her. How could you blame her? Jeez. We need to talk a little fishing, but we got to take a break. We are brought to you by Highway Trailer Sales. My good friend, I just love this guy. Terry Lee is El Presidente. I wonder if he could be president of the United States someday.
I doubt he'd want to.
Why?
I mean, with the climate and the government right now, who would want to be a
politician?
All you
could do is act mad all the time.
Well, that's that. And he's not that way.
No,
so.
We could train him maybe. Poke him with a stick or something.
Yeah, put a shock collar on him.
Never thought of that.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's Highway Trailer Sales, Service and Parts, 1850 Southern Road here in Kansas City, Missouri. Got 12 bays. You guys are dragging around 18-wheelers and going to be probably hauling off. I see an awful lot of corn going in because they got to have some sales to get some fertilizer and feed for next year, and some people are under contract. So they break. They put a bimp in your trailer. These are the fantastic people that will get you back on the road. They got 12-bay service. They know that time is money. If you pull in there, they're going to take it real, real serious. They're going to do it professionally. I don't think I've ever been around anybody more caring and more concerned than Terry Lee and the Highway Trailer Sales. Again, they're located at 1850 Southern Road. That's right across, just west of World of Fun on 435. 1850 Southern Road. Go by, see these fantastic people. Give them a call, 816-483-3676. That's 816 area code, 483-3676. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. I'm your host, Fred Ramsey, and I'm here with my co-host, the greatest fisherman to walk the face of the earth. Can catch more fish out of a goldfish bowl than anybody I know, Mark Tobin.
Especially if they're those goldfish crackers.
Yeah.
I can catch them.
Yeah, I bet you can.
Yeah.
You're the only guy I know that's caught fish out of your coffee table.
And the carpet underneath it.
Mm-hmm. Are they still there?
Out of the grass.
Out of the grass?
Uh-huh.
You've dreamed that they were there.
These are dreams I've had, yes.
Yeah. That might show some kind of addiction.
I don't know. I'm afraid to have myself analyzed. I know we had Jimmy Houston on the show a few times, and the last time he was on that night before we had him on, I had a dream that he was in the studio with us. And one of my guys came in here in the studio with a lawnmower. And I'm looking at him, trying to get him to turn the mower off, because can't you tell we're on the radio? So he left, and Jimmy got a fishing rod out, and he and I started fishing here in the studio. And we caught some fish out of the floor in the studio.
I always knew you were strange. We are brought to you by King City Lumber Company, kingcitylumber.com in King City, Missouri. For you guys need a garage, a shed built out in the woods, or a cabin, you want first-rate carpenter, first-rate material, kingcitylumber.com. They're the Marty and Monty Tunks, the finest humans to walk upright. Go to their website. You spend 20 minutes there on the deal. I always knew you were strange, but that kind of solid it up a little bit.
Solidified it, right?
Solidified, I guess, would be the terminology.
Huh. Well. But it's what a cool deal if you could really do that. You know, I remember one dream I had. I was sitting at my mom's kitchen table, and I kept the door that came into the kitchen. I noticed something, and I'd look up, and it would move. Well, it was a crappie. And it was peeking its head around the door and looking at me. And when I'd look at it, it'd go back away. So as you can only do in a dream, I floated up to the ceiling and I went over to the door to see what this crappie was doing. And I looked around the door and the whole wall was lined with crappie.
A school of crappie.
A whole school of
in
crappie.
The kitchen?
I was in the kitchen, but this was going into the dining room. So they were actually
understand.
In the dining room, which is appropriate.
Too bad the late, great Marshall Safer ain't around. He could analyze right. you, and he would look at you. How about we get you on Dr. Phil with Oprah? Well, you think that would help?
I think I'm too far gone.
Do you really?
Yeah.
What's your wife think about this?
You know,
these
things don't surprise her anymore. Early on when we were first married, especially when I'd come back from weekend trips at the lake, I would always wind up having a dream about catching a fish, and I would set the hook, And more than once, I would hit the bed frame or the headboard behind the bed and just scare the life out of her until she just got used to it. And I got to where I'd do that, and then she'd just say, "You miss another one."
Oh, really?
That the only thing, and I did scare her one time, I had a dream. We had done a show, and we were talking about, at one point we were talking about coyotes and bears. So I had dreamt that I was sitting in my garage, and some coyotes came running across the street. And I remember that you want to look big to scare them away. So I stood up, as they got closer, I stood up like a bear, and I growled like a bear. Well, I actually did that in my sleep. So I'm going, and my wife had no idea what in the world had come into the bedroom, but it was just me.
Boy, that poor woman. I feel so sorry for her. Jesus. The whole Tobin clan, I think,
it's disturbing.
Is disturbing humans, you know, walking the face of Earth. I don't know. Hey, by the magic, things happen, I suppose, that are supposed to be. We're going to try to get Keith Mart to come on the radio show with us, maybe next Saturday. Who we got for the second half?
We have got J.E. Vanetta. He is a hummingbird rep.
Yes.
Works for a company called Duncan Lewis. But, yeah, if you have a locator, any kind of electronics, and you're not sure how to get the most out of it, we're going to talk about that today and maybe help you.
Guy's phenomenal.
Yeah, he is. He's really amazing. Greg Thompson just sent me a picture. This is on our Facebook page. That's me, Elfie, with those goldfish in a toilet.
I understand.
Those goldfish crackers. I can catch those.
Everybody's got to be somewhere, as they say.
Thank you, Greg.
I've ran into an old buddy of mine. He was shackled to the courthouse floor one time, and I said, "Where are you headed?" And he said, "Prison." And I said, "What do you think of that?" And he said, "Everybody's got to be somewhere." And they took him away in a little orange suit, you know. Boy, he was a strange person, too, in the deal. Anyway, we're going to get Keith Mart on maybe here pretty darn quick, I hope. They started a thing, and you guys want to take a look at this, HunterNation.com. Just because we're outdoor enthusiasts doesn't mean that we're buffoons, morons, and idiots. We like going outdoors and catching fish and hunting ducks and chasing after deer. We're actually pretty good humans, you know.
Absolutely.
But there's a lot of people that don't like us.
Well, to know us is to love us, right?
That's right. That's the way I look at it. Well, quit looking at me. Blow the Dam at Truman. Walleye.
There are a few showing up, yes. It's just this weather has just been so screwy. I was down at the Ozarks last weekend, and Saturday was great. Sunday was super windy, but then it got cold Sunday night, and by Monday morning, the coves and the creeks were all iced up again. So still dealing with some ice up here in the, you know, the mid part of the state and up north. Kansas Lake still has some ice on them. But there's fish to be had if you can get out on the water, and you might need to go a little bit further south. Stockton, they're catching a lot of crappie down there, but I think if you want to catch a walleye, Stockton is probably the best bet right now. There's several reports of some nice walleye being caught down on Stockton. Table Rock as well, some walleye being caught out at Table Rock as well. And Bull Shoals is always really good this time of year, but this is the time, you know, beginning to middle of March, you ought to be getting some walleye.
Ought to head Tanicomo.
Yeah. Oh, did you heard? You heard about that new state record brown trout?
No, 34, did not.
Was it 34 pounds?
Out of Tanicomo?
Yeah. Just caught last week. I think it was last weekend.
Was he dynamited or caught?
On a 1/8-ounce jig with 4-pound line.
Ah, wait a minute.
Beat the old record.
And
he was fishing a tournament out of Lily's Landing.
Are you? I suppose you had big fish of the day.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
But Lily's got some video of it. They took real good care of it. Shane Bush, our friend biologist down there on Tanicomo and Table Rock, he sent me a video of it. And they had it in a big aerated tank and measured it and weighed it. And they released it and have film of it swimming away. So Lily's has had video of this fish for a couple of years now. They've called it Fred.
Oh, cool.
And it's been around that dock for a long time, eating fish guts and smaller trout. And I was talking to Clint Hale, the fisheries manager down there at Taney-Como, and he mm-hmm. said he thinks it's a triploid. Do you know what a triploid is?
No.
A triploid is a sterile fish. And they put, this was, I think, in 2000, I think it was 7 years ago. So that would have been maybe 2013. They
depends which math you're using. You're well, from the east true. Side of Kansas City. They use different math over there.
And I think they thought it was, I'm confused. It was 8 years ago that they put these triploids in there.
You confused?
No, can't imagine that, right? But they put these triploids in there, and the reason was because they'll grow bigger, and that's what they wanted to do, is to see if they could
get some. Triploids?
Yeah. It's this a sterile fish. So
a neutered fish.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a process that they go. I can't tell you exactly how they do this, but these fish cannot reproduce. And without sex on their mind, they grow real fast, if you can imagine.
Wow.
If you couldn't reproduce, you'd probably be nothing but a
tub, I understand.
You know? But
where are you headed with this? What are you looking at me like that for?
Oh, great.
Go ahead.
Great, correct me. It's not Fred. The fish's name was Fred. Frank.
Frank.
You're
That's
Fred.
Close enough.
Right. But anyway, this fish was growing 4 pounds a year on average. 4 pounds a year. That is just amazing to me.
Eating them Keebler cookies, aren't they?
Yeah.
Wow.
But it beat the old record by like 4 pounds. Pretty amazing. But
how big was this fish?
Was it 34 pounds?
I didn't hear anything about it. I keep my ear to the ground on that kind of stuff. I didn't see nothing.
Yeah,
34 pounds. 4 pound test.
Yeah. And on a jig. Pretty amazing. And right during the middle of the day, you know, so many of these guys that go hunting after those big browns, they do it at night.
What didn't Clint tell us about that fish?
He did. Well, he told me.
He didn't tell me. I'd have been down there. We'd have been after him.
Clint was on a cruise. He missed all the festivities. But Shane Bush, he was Clint. There to make it an official new state record.
Clint can't get away from the water, can he? He's got to be on the cruise
somewhere.
He's a good guy. I like him.
He's the best, right?
Yeah. Shane is a good guy. He was a good guest on this thing. Tell you what, we've got to take a little bit of a break. We come back, we're going to talk about hummingbird. Ought to be a good show. If you guys got a hummingbird and you don't know how to use it, which is not unusual.
Well, and J.E. can give you tips on any kind of
exactly.
a locator, right?
We are brought to you by my best friend who's going to give me a Silverado pickup for my belated birthday, Trevin Reed. He's probably listening this morning. I bet he's just cringing. I bet his toenails went down in it. Anyway, if you're in the mode for a Silverado pickup or anything in the Chevrolet mode, they also own the Dodge Chrysler store up in St. Joe. Non-commissioned salesman, great inventory. You're going to love these guys. They're going to make you giggle when you're in there buying a vehicle.
Can you imagine that? Really?
Yeah. And it's not intense. You had more fun.
Absolutely.
It took you 30 minutes to do the deal, and it took you 3 hours to get out and quit
that
talking about fishing.
Exactly right. That is exactly how it was. It was just such a great experience.
They're good people.
Unlike any other. And I've been driving for a long time, bought a lot of cars.
Yeah.
But nothing like being up there at Reed.
Yeah.
Just a nice. And you mentioned it. Non-commissioned salespeople. Yeah. There's no pressure on the salesperson to make a sale.
Care.
So yeah.
Yeah.
So they don't put any pressure on you. Yeah.
They don't sell you a car. They help you buy one.
That's exactly right.
And people come from Lincoln and Omaha and Des Moines and Lee Summit and Butler and Joplin up there. Why is that? Price?
Yeah.
You know. Reed Chevrolet, Frederick Avenue, St. Joseph, Missouri. Got to take a little break. You're listening to Midwest Outdoors. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We'd like to apologize. Lord, I would apologize. Hey, Mark. March the 15th is snagging season. I had a guy call me the other day wanting to know about it. That's not too far away, is it?
2 weeks from today.
And you know what'll happen?
I know exactly
what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm going to see some boats getting towed back to the ramp. And there's going to be some boats up at the ramp that never got started. And I'm telling you, you got 2 weeks. If you haven't got your boat service yet, you got to get it out to Sportsman's Outfitter and Marine and have them go over it so that you don't. They'll do a 32-point check, and it's just imperative that you do this. So when you finally get it, you know, after this miserable winter, when you finally get a chance to get your boat out on the water, you don't want it not to start, or you don't want it to break down just as soon as you get out there. So go out to Sportsman's and have them check that out and make sure that you have a good day on the water.
Yeah. Boy, but, nothing worse.
Sportsman's Outfitting Marine. They're out in Belton. It's the last Belton exit off Cass Road. They're on the east or west side of 49 Highway now.
Yeah, and you're so amped up to go.
I know. There's nothing more.
You've had cabin fever forever, and you're amped up to go, and then all of a sudden the boat goes clickety-click. Or
a year like this in particular, you know, yeah. seems like we've been cooped up, got a bad case of cabin fever this year. But we got a guy on the phone right now that maybe had a bad case of cabin fever, but he doesn't have it today, and that would be Mr. J.E. Vanetta. He is a Hummingbird rep, works for a company called Duncan Lewis, and he is, I think, getting ready to get out on the water on Stockton Lake. J.E., can you hear us?
Actually, guys, can you hear me this morning?
Yeah.
I can hear you.
Awesome. I had to stand at a certain spot up here at the ramp on Stockton Lake so I can keep the signal with you guys, so I apologize. Now, I do have to ask a question before we get started, if you don't mind.
Uh-huh. Please do.
Did somebody have a birthday this week?
Yeah, I did, Jay.
I got to ask you, I heard you had a religious conversion this week.
That's right.
With Lord Calvert.
Oh. Lord Calvert? How did you know?
I have my contact.
Jay, I had my 18th annual 50th.
18th? Well, I just hope you never catch up to me, all right?
No, I'm waiting on you.
That was Fred's birthday on Wednesday, and my birthday is on Monday. And Greg Thompson must have sent you a picture. Didn't he?
I'm not going to confess to anything or get Greg in any trouble.
Too late. So what's going on down there?
Good to hear from you guys.
Well, thank you for – you got to be cold. You standing up on the ramp and the ice – is there any ice on the water down there?
No, actually, we've got about 33, 34 degrees up here this morning and no wind. It's not too bad for a day in southern Missouri.
Well, have you fished yet? Are you just going to
– No, actually, I'm with the group up here, the Brushbusters Bass Association. And my partners and friends here are launching the boat for me, getting stuff ready while I'm up here talking on the phone to you guys.
Brush Busters Bass Association. Say that fast five times.
Get you in
Brush
trouble.
Brush Busters Bass Association.
Hey, nice.
BBA.
So what do you think the bass are going to be doing on Stockton Lake today?
Well, I can tell you what I'm hoping they're doing. I'm hoping they're going to eat a stick bait for me or jig a little bit later this afternoon. But I haven't been on this water for a while, so we're going to go up and tune up those hummingbirds so we can go fine.
Ah, that sounds absolutely wonderful. Well, you are among other things, you are a hummingbird rep and an expert in electronics. So let me ask you first off, what's the difference between a sonar and down imaging?
Well, they're all sonar. Generically, what we call them, we would say sonar is our 2D system, which is what we're all familiar with from, you know, years and years back. And when we go to the imaging system, be it down imaging or side imaging, that's where we take that sonar display that we typically see as a, you know, arches, blobs, dashes, dots, and lines on that 2D screen and put it into diagram for us guys like you and me that want to see a little bit clearer picture or a picture that helps define what the target is a little bit more obvious, then that's what we provide for you.
Well, and I'm probably as guilty of this as anybody. If you just turn on your electronics and don't ever mess with it, are you missing any information?
You're missing a lot.
Really?
In fact, I tell most guys that's one of the issues. When you put a unit on the boat and you power it up, it comes out of the box in what we call default settings. Now, what that means, if we have a scale of 1 to 10, it's going to be set at 5. Scale of 1 to 20, we're going to set it at 10. And most experienced sonar guys or fishermen don't run their units at those settings. And even as like today up here on Stockton, if I'm in 25 foot of water at a long point, that's going to be a different sensitivity setting than if I'm up in 5 foot of water off a hard rocky bottom somewhere. So you've got to make those adjustments to optimize the display you're looking at.
Wow.
Well, that would make sense to me.
Yeah.
I know there's been times that I have caught fish but not seen anything much on the locator. And that's probably because I never adjusted any settings.
You're a basic
That also, plus, like one of the things we cover in some of our training seminars is what we call the cone of coverage. People always envision you turn the sonar on, you see everything under the water, but there's a narrow area, like a spotlight on 2D sonar or narrow beams on your imaging sonar, that the fish or the target has to be in that sonar cone for us to display it on the screen for you.
Well, that makes sense. Well, so what feature should you adjust?
Well, here's what I do. If I get in your boat, the very first thing I'm going to do is take, if it's on an imaging system, say side imaging, is adjust the range that you're displayed on the screen down. Where default setting is 100 foot. And as I said, we don't run at defaults very often. So the less range I have, the more information I'm going to see on the screen in detail. And the way I explain it to people is that if I've got a 52-inch TV I'm watching a show on, and I go put it on a 13-inch TV, the same data is there, but it's compressed. So when you compress it, you lose detail. So if I can range in shorter distances, I've got a lot more detail on the display.
Wow. Common sense.
Yeah.
Well, you would think so, but again, you know, us old guys, we don't get common very often.
A lot do that.
What about the contrast? Should you ever fiddle with the contrast?
Well, again, if I hop in your boat, that's the first thing I'm, or second thing I'm going to do is hit the range and go up to the contrast. Now, I explain it to you this way. In a lot of the training seminars, I've got guys from high school teams to college teams to old graybeards like us, and our eyes do not see the screen the same. So I'll hop in, side imaging, hit the menu button once, go down to what we call the SI Enhanced, which opens up that menu that lets me adjust sensitivity and contrast and sharpness all in one spot. And I'm going to start bumping my contrast up based on, again, the bottom's content, the hard bottom, soft bottom that I'm on, until I tell people at one point in time it's going to pop. You're going to go, that's it right there. I see some depth. I see some shadows. I see more detail right there. And then I'm going to make small adjustments to my sensitivity until I get it tuned in to where I'm seeing good shadows, good spots in those shadows, which would be suspended fish in most cases, or fish on the bottom. And again, it just kind of fine-tunes the system so the display is a little clearer. And it's bad enough that I'm looking for fish these days. I don't look for structure as much. Today I'll hit a couple spots. We'll side image and through it. If I see fish, we'll stop and fish. If not, we'll run down the lake a little bit further.
Huh. What about, you know, where you got real muddy water? Is there a whole different setting, a whole different system? Is there something you need to think about when you get into that spring runoff, you know, and all of a sudden you got all this murk in the water?
You know, a lot of people think that muddy water affects our imaging systems. Now, if you're on a river where you've got a lot of runoff and a lot of debris flowing down through the current, then, yeah, it can distort the signal a little bit. But water clarity doesn't impact it an awful lot. You make small sensitivity adjustments.
Okay.
I had a gentleman just the other day say, well, it's sunny days. I set it at this setting. On cloudy days, I set it at that setting. But that really doesn't apply because it's underwater sonar.
Okay.
What the vision on the sky or how much sun is shining on the water has no impact on what you see on that screen.
Now, you've been messing with this for a lot of years. How good is it? I mean, can you, and I'll bet you can, these are crappie, these are carp, these are bass. Can you go that far with it?
No. You can based on experience.
Uh-huh.
You've looked at them long enough and caught them, and you can have a real good idea that I've got some screen captures of fish on trees. That the way they school on trees, you've got a good idea that they're crappie and not Kentuckys or white bass. But what I tell people is if you climb on the boat with me and I look at a sonar return, I say that's a 5-pound largemouth and that's a 2-pound white over there, put $20 on the deck, bet me, and make me catch it.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
That's impressive.
Now, if you can see a sonar shadow in your imaging system and you can see a good, you were talking about snagging?
Mm-hmm.
Spoonbill, if you see a spoonbill on side imaging, that shadow is very, very obvious.
Yeah.
And you can tell which ones are spoonbill and which ones are not.
Oh, cool.
Wow. What about my beloved walleye laying on the bottom? Are we just out of luck?
No, not at all. In fact, on 2D sonar, even on imaging sonar, you can see a fish on the bottom. There'll be a little bit of a bump on the bottom of the surface, especially on hard surfaces. Or, again, if you're on your side imaging system, then you'll see a brighter spot where that fish is laying or maybe a shadow back behind it to help identify it. So
Jay,
now you can't tell by the length, like a walleye versus a bass.
Uh-huh.
Because when we're on imaging, the longer that fish is in the sonar cone, the longer we're going to ping it and the longer that return is going to be or the longer the line's going to be. So that doesn't necessarily mean that's the length of the fish.
Jay, I've got a co-host here, Mark Tobin, that's I would pay you good hard money to try to retrain him. I don't think it'll work.
You know what?
Did we lose our guest? A bird just
flew. You got me, sir?
There you're back.
We go.
We lost you for a second.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to stand still here.
All right.
Now, what I said was, Mark, we've got a remedial program that I'd be glad to come up and work out with you.
J.E., I thought you were a nice guy.
I am, but it's early and I'm cold, Mark. Yeah.
So, well, when you get off the phone, you're heading down to the boat, and you're going to be fishing in a bass tournament today down at Stockton. Now, you get in the boat, and you change the, you know, your adjustments and your settings on your locator. Is that the last time you'll mess with it during the day, or do you constantly change and fiddle with the different settings as you go through the day?
Yeah, and I tell people, we do on-the-water training programs where we hop in your boat with your equipment, and I'll sit behind your seat where you push buttons.
Really?
And if you set the unit up first thing in the morning, you drive around for 8 hours and haven't adjusted sensitivity or range or contrast, then you're absolutely missing stuff on the screen. Again, if I go from deep water, say 35, 45 foot water, up to shallow water, soft bottom, hard bottom, those are changes you need to make on the units to optimize what you're seeing on the screen.
How much do you use your side imaging?
I look at sonar guys in two different ways. I have what I call big picture sonar and little picture sonar. So when I get on the lake today, I'll hit the first spot. I'm going to idle through this with my side imaging on, and I'm looking for fish, looking for the right structure on the banks, the types of banks that I'm looking for. If I stop the fish, now I go down to my what I call my small picture sonar. I'll be in the front of the boat on 2D sonar or down imaging sonar. So side imaging is my searching tool when I'm trying to find things. But when I start to fish, I'm on the front of the boat at that point in time throwing at a target.
Does the side imaging work in shallow water?
Yes, it does. In fact, that's one of the strengths of shallow side imaging is the shallow water application. So if I've got a sonar cone in the front of the boat, a 2D sonar, and I'm going to use old frequencies because I tell people my math sucks. I didn't do well in high school with my math. Our normal cone of coverage just before we went to chirp was in 200 kilohertz, is one-third your depth is what you were looking at the bottom of the lake. So in 30 foot of water, you're really only seeing a 10-foot circle on the bottom. So the shallower you get, the smaller that circle becomes. If you're a river rat or guy up in 6 or 10 foot of water, I tell people you just about have to run into a fish to see it on that 2D screen. But side imaging, I can range out 100 foot left, 100 foot right, 150 left, 150 foot right, idle through an area and see the big picture stuff, laydowns, brush piles, rock piles, and things like that that I can put a waypoint on, and then come back and reduce the range, get a little more detail, and get on the front of the boat and start fishing it.
The side imaging, is it a cone just like the down imaging is? Is it the same cone of sound, if that makes sense?
Yeah, actually, it's a very narrow slice. Where we're in 2D sonar, you've got like a spotlight or a flashlight shining on the bottom of the lake,
right.
Round circle.
Right.
And on side imaging, that circle is compressed to a very narrow beam, about a 4-degree wide beam. So you're taking slices of sonar cuts through the water. I tell people it's kind of like looking at one of not a sonogram, but you got the slices, the pictures of the brain. What am I trying to say, guys?
We don't have brains.
You know,
we're talk radio guys.
Like an MRI type picture. So we're taking those little slices, and instead of looking at individual cuts, now we're stacking those together and putting the picture together for you.
But can the side imaging see the bottom as well?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. In fact, what we do is the transducer shoots, I call it shoulder to shoulder, horizontal off the side of the transducer, and it goes all the way down under the boat. So you have like a big fan, left side and right side, that shoot everything that's from the surface of the transducer all the way down to the bottom of the lake. And then what we do is take that cone of coverage and we kind of push the picture out on side imaging so we can see the water column, which allows us to see any suspended fish or bait fish or trees up in the water column that might get lost in that background if we didn't have that water column opened up.
Wow, phenomenal, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's happened in this industry?
Guys, and it's just going to get better.
Yeah.
That's all I can tell you is it's like computers. In fact, depth finders are computers these days, guys. They're not just old flashers anymore. And
you know,
the technology that's available is amazing, and what's coming it'll blow your mind.
Jay had a buddy that fishes Smithville religiously. I don't know why, but he does fish Smithville religiously. He got the side image when he first got it. He said it was like a new lake to him. He said there was brush piles over on that bank that he never knew was there, and he went over and fished at and caught the snot out of them, big crappie. It's a new horizon for a lot of people, isn't it?
It is. It makes the lake smaller, is what I tell people. Instead of having to go out and drive over it or waypoint it or mark it on 2D sonar and come back and try to fish it, you can look at it, tell what it is, and know which areas you want to fish, which direction you want to go. Now, with that said, I trained the Highway Water Patrol, Missouri Water Patrol, every year, and we do a deal at PB2 up Lake the Ozarks. And a few years ago, we had about 35 of the officers on the bank, six boats at the dock, and these three gentlemen come in a pontoon boat that has nothing on the deck but carpet, leaves and twigs. They've been out dropping brush piles. If they had a fire extinguisher, it was in somebody's pocket. Probably not the most legal boat you'd seen on the water all day. And the water patrol guys kind of took interest to it. And I said, guys, just we're here to train. Let those guys go. I'll go down and talk to them, and we'll take care of this. And I went down and told the boys. I said, you're welcome and thank you. And they said, well, what do you mean? I said, you're welcome. I just saved you 35 tickets. They said, okay, but thank you for what? I said, now we're going to go find all your brush piles. Guys, serious fishing, we go plant our brush piles. I don't do that anymore. I'm going to go find yours, all right?
That sounds just like me.
Exactly.
Jay, it'll be the call that I'll get on the way home, so I'll stop this call. How much money are we talking here? Where are we at on this financially? To what option range can you go to? How much money can you spend on these?
Well, I tell people when they ask me that question, I can spend your money very easily. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, on your boat, you need four Solex 15-inch units and two Bluetooth Talons, an Ultrex trolling motor that I tied at Link, and I'm going to spend about $12,000.
Oh, cool.
However, that's the great thing about the Humminbird and Johnson Outdoors products. You can go from a $199 unit up to a $3,500 unit. Based on what you want for features and screen size. So if you're rigging a small boat or a kayak, a Helix 5, 7, or 8 will be perfect for you. If you're a serious tournament guy and you're wanting a big screen TV on the front of your boat, then the Solex 15 is the application you're going to get. So to explain it to people as far as investment and cost, there's a cost value to everything.
Mm-hmm.
These are all tools.
Yeah.
Pick the right tool for the job you're trying to do and the amount of money you want to spend and the screen size you're looking for. And enjoy the investment. Now, I'll say this. I've never had anybody tell me they wish they had bought a smaller screen. I have a lot of people say that I bought a Helix 5 and I wish I'd bought a Helix 8.
Yeah. Right.
Again, invest your money. Figure out the type of boat you're going to rig it on, the type of fishing you do, and then buy the best tool for that application.
I want a 6-foot screen.
Yeah.
I'm old.
Well, guys, I rig my boat opposite than a lot of people used to do. I put my big screen up front on the bow when I'm standing up, and I'm 5 foot away from it, and the smaller screens are back at the console. I'm sitting 2 foot in front of my face.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I'd rather have the big one where I'm,
spending
most of my time.
Can I ask you to hold on just for a second? Let me yell at the guy right here real quick.
All right.
Go ahead and launch the boat, man. Launch the boat.
Like live radio.
That's right.
Nothing like it, is it?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Hey, no problem. Right. Jay, did you say that you'll actually go out on the water with people and help instruct them with their electronics?
Yes, we do. In fact, I do. I travel quite a bit. We do several training seminars, classroom seminars, where we bring in training units, put on the table and power up for you so you can push the buttons and watch the changes. We've got an event coming up in the Kansas area also here in about 3 weeks at Smithville Marine.
Cool.
Where we will have a Friday night training seminar, and then Saturday we go to the boat, to the lake, Smithville Lake, with your boat, and I'll have two or three pro staffers with me that we will take 45 minutes in each boat.
Wow.
You have to make a reservation, say 10 o'clock, 10:45, 11:30, and we will basically just go from boat to boat with your equipment. So you drive the boat. We'll show you those rock piles on Smithville Lake. We'll show you how to adjust those contrasts, adjust those sensitivities from deep water to shallow water. And that way, when you leave, your boat's set up the way that you want to fish it.
What a great deal.
I tell people all the time, you can spend 2 hours in a seminar with me, but you'll gain more out of 45 minutes on the water than me talking to you and showing you pictures.
How much do you charge to do this kind of thing?
We don't. This is a service we do from the Johnson Outdoors to Humminbird Products. Is that we support the end user more than probably anybody else in the industry. We've got an extremely good warranty department, the service department. But the way I tell people, if I'm a fisherman, I fish this equipment too. And if you're not happy with it, then we're not happy. So to optimize your time on the water, learn how to use the tool you've got to the best of your ability, and you're going to be pleased with what the results are, and so am I.
How can people make reservations or get more information from you?
We post this on Facebook, on the Humminbird Side Imaging Group. The event up in Smithville, if you contact Kent or Stacy at Smithville Marine, we do require reservations. You got to block your time. The great thing about that is that if you want to go fish Smithville, you show up at 11 o'clock, 45 minutes later, you can go back out and use the equipment. We just taught you how to set up.
Cool.
But you have to call to Smithville Marine or any of the dealers we do this event with and schedule your time.
Wow. J.E., we're out of radio time to go fishing, and we're glad that you could do this for us more than you probably know.
Yeah, thank you for letting
us. You guys, not as happy as I am. I have to tell you, you do have faces for radio.
Yeah.
I had to practice my radio voice.
There you go.
So I'll be up there Monday. Hope I get to see you guys. Right. If not, I'm going to swing by the studio one of these days and
that'd
bring you
be
a
great.
Cup of Lord Calvert.
Yeah, that'll work.
That sounds
that'll
good.
Work. We'll have a religious moment.
Thank you so much. You get
thank
out
you, Jay.
Have fun on the water today, buddy.
Okay, buddy.
We'll
good.
Do it.
All right, kiddo.
Thanks,
good luck.
All right. What a knowledgeable human.
He's great. He really knows his stuff. Well, take advantage of that. Get out there on the water with him. I mean, what a great way to learn more about your electronics.
I would pay him to help me out.
I am so bad.
The side imaging thing is
yes.
what everybody I'm hearing a bitch about.
Right.
This thing, so he could figure this out.
Right.
On the deal. One thing I wanted to bring present here, since we got a lot of guys that go to Montana or thinking about going out west, March the 15th is your application period to be in. If it's not postmarked by March the 15th, you're not going to get an elk tag. You're not going to get a deer tag out there. They got 14,600 non-resident elk, and I think it's 4,700 mule deer. So March the 15th, you can go online and get all this done. So don't let that slip by you.
And today's the trout opener, Bennett Springs and some of the
Why?
Trout parks.
Yeah. Why?
Well, it's a social event.
I understand. It gets so social they can't move sometimes.
Yeah, right.
Tell you what, that wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. We got to go for this week. The next time I see you, I hope I see you in a great outdoors.
Have a great week, and here's hoping for spring. So long, everybody.